It's KCUR Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. The life of a graffiti artist is often one fraught with conflict, the tension between amazing creative talent and run-ins with the law. The Kansas City artist known as Scribe got past that conflict years ago. He's been the artist in residence at Children's Mercy Hospital for a few years now. But he also knows that lots of kids deal with all kinds of conflict within. This month, he's got both a new children's book and an album of music inspired by his art coming out. And to talk about his life and that work, Scribe, whose real name is Donald Ross, is here with us. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So we can talk about your work and your life and this project, but first I feel like we need to know about Rumpus. Who is Rumpus?
Rumpus is a rhino character that I drew. I started drawing 20 years ago. Actually, this is the 20th anniversary of me painting him around Kansas City. It started out as a character that I did that represented me. I was at a crossroads. I didn't get a chance to finish college, and I had a lot of turmoil during that time, and I loved drawing animals. I identified with it as a big guy. He tough skin, and rhinos can't see very far. And at that time, my future was really blurry, and so I just identified with it, and I started telling my story through him. He's really evolved over the years, and I think that he's become more of the story of a lot of creatives, and I'm trying to make him a lot more about a larger community than just about me.
Are there places around Kansas City we can see Rumpus these days?
Evolution Audio down on Southwest Boulevard, about where Southwest Boulevard and Broadway hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, honestly, I've painted over so many murals repetitively that there have just been so many different...
He comes and goes.
He comes and goes a lot.
What, 20 years since you first started painting him, is that when you started painting in Kansas City?
No, I'd say it's about 23, or maybe I'm coming up on 24. So okay. I moved here in 1993 to
what did you come here for?
I came here to go to the Art Institute, and I moved here from the Boston area.
And you mentioned that you weren't able to finish college.
Yes. I made a lot of choices to, at the time, I was, you know, 18, and honestly, the college was not really into graffiti, and it became well known that I was interested in that. And so we started bumping heads a little bit, and it ended up with me not getting a chance to continue.
Is that part of the life of a graffiti artist, that there's that kind of conflict?
I'm finding that the other day I actually revealed more of that story on my social media stuff and started to see that that's really common, and it's understandable. It's a rebellious, subculture, and, there's a lot of things that people don't understand about it. And so even within the art community at the time who, you know, like, I guess, sees themselves a lot of times as being as free thinkers. Mm-hmm. This was a little challenging for them here in Kansas City in 1993.
How would you describe your style, your murals, your paintings on the street or even elsewhere?
I'd say first it starts with like all of the basic Saturday morning cartoons from my era. I'm a huge fan of like the old Popeye cartoons, Disney cartoons, Tom and Jerry. Mm-hmm. Everything that is silly, everything that is fantasy, Hanna-Barbera cartoons, I could go on forever. And then you kind of smash that with a graffiti aesthetic as well, where when I ended up getting involved in graffiti, I met a guy named Gear and a guy named East, and they were mainly involved in lettering, but their color theory is something that's out of this world. And just working with them on collaborative pieces and our conversations just started teaching me to look at things a different way. And then you kind of smash all the silly cartoon stuff in there. And I guess it sort of accidentally became me.
When did you make the transition to less, as you say, rebellious work?
Quickly after I got in trouble.
Okay.
So that was life altering. I ended up, you know, like it was questionable. I had questionable places to live. I wasn't in school anymore. And thanks to a really supportive girlfriend who's now been my wife for the last 15 years, I just kept plugging it away. I mean, at the heart of it, my interest was constantly to be working on art and doing murals, and it just ended up being another transition.
And a pretty serious transition was when you became the artist in residence at Children's Mercy. We've talked about that on the air on KCUR before. Mm-hmm. Does Rumpus show up at Children's Mercy too?
To be honest, no.
How come?
Rumpus, I think, tells a little bit more of a serious story and occasionally a slightly darker side of things. As he's a happy guy, but he deals with a lot of conflict. And I love Children's Mercy, and there's a different audience that we're talking to there. And so as much as the styles are obviously recognizable between the two, I want to keep those two stories separately. And, working with Rumpus and some of my other stuff out on the streets around Kansas City gives me a chance to tell one story that's appropriate for me and appropriate for the people who choose to go up and look at the artwork and choose to receive it. But when I'm at Children's Mercy, we're telling a different story, and I'm just a really small part in helping parents, helping visitors, and most importantly, helping the kids kind of like lower their anxiety about the environment that they're in. And, that can't really be done through Rumpus.
Mm-hmm. So who is it done through? What are the characters that find life on the walls and hallways of a hospital?
They're a lot like what's in the new Scribble Squad book that's coming out. Just lots of rabbits, funny rodents. Like, my purpose is really to make people laugh and get lost in what they're doing so that they kind of forget about the fact that they're at a hospital for a minute. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that I have any specific names to them, although I do occasionally make references to people that work there. If I want to make fun of a manager or something, I have a tendency to slide them in a funny way. Or sometimes out of a lot of respect for people that have put a lot of years into helping kids, we have honored them with making them into cartoon characters as well.
I know you sometimes will show animals with prosthetics, for example, or who are otherwise dealing with the situations that the kids there might be dealing with.
We're really, as a team, trying our best to make sure that, like, they don't see themselves as different. If there is something that they have that is uniquely different than another kid, the goal to put those situations into everyday life around them normalizes it that much more, and hopefully, creating a little bit less anxiety about how is somebody else going to be looking at me, whether it be with this cast and asking me questions about what happened, or a prosthetic limb or something like that. And then the main reason why I end up doing animals is really to kind of unify all kids together. Sometimes issues with different people's background and their, different shades of skin and all that kind of stuff can end up being a barrier. And animals are a great way to unify that so that we're not really highlighting. Mm-hmm. We're highlighting what the heart of the person. We're highlighting the situation that they're in, but we're not, like, trying to focus in on any particular group.
Do you feel like the time you've spent as a, I don't know, I don't mean this to sound patronizing to your earlier, to your college years, but as your grown-up life as an artist, do you feel like that has changed you as an artist or even as a person?
Working at Children's Mercy?
For example.
It totally has. It's radically changed me. I get a chance to participate in the process probably a lot faster than most people in seeing the actual interactions. Having those interactions right in front of me lets me know what works. It motivates me even harder to, close any gaps that I feel like there may be, or some of the other staff. I work with a group called Child Life who handle the child psychology and education and music and stuff, and they advise me all the time about what the patient experience is like, and it has made me think a whole lot less about myself, and a lot more about the community. And it was something I originally wanted to do, but working there day to day definitely will give you a deeper appreciation for that, and you just grow.
Well, all of this brings us to the new releases that you have out, including an album of music that, in a different way, tells the story of Rumpus. In fact, we're going to hear some of that music now, music that's inspired by your art. We'll also talk more with you, Scribe Donald Ross, about that and about this new children's book that introduces the Scribble Squad to the world. That's all when KCUR Central Standard returns. I'm Brian Ellison. Don't go away. That music's by Catch 22 from a new album called Rumpus in These Horns of Mine. It's music inspired by the artwork of Scribe, whose name is Donald Ross, where he's our guest today on KCUR Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. That album is a part of a big release party that's happening this weekend. And Scribe, tell me how your artistic rendition of A Rhino has come to inspire music.
I think where it started was many years ago. The very first hip-hop album I bought was by De La Soul, 3 Feet High and Rising, near Fenway Park. And the idea of smashing music together with, when I opened the tape at the time, there was comics in there, and it went with it. And that was a big part of the inspiration. I'm around a lot of DJs, around a lot of hip-hop musicians and stuff. I even almost went to music school. Instead of art school. And music has been a heartbeat behind every show that I've ever had. And it's just been an important part of my life. I was talking to my buddy Rich Lester, who actually that track was by. He also goes by Joker70. And we did a project a while ago where we just did a CD with a comic, but we wanted to grow that a little bit more. And Rich was kind enough to like reach out to another buddy of mine named Dylan, who goes by Tristal, and they are the two main producers who put the whole album together, along with another buddy of mine named Icy Rock.
And how would you describe the rest of the album? We heard just the opening track, actually.
That's really difficult.
Because it's a bunch of different styles, right?
It is. It's all over the place. And one of the things that we set out to do was to do it more like, to let the world know that hip-hop is definitely a major influence, but we like a lot of stuff. Also, to look at it like a soundtrack. So I just wrote down some really basic emotions and situations that Rumpus may be in, and let that influence them and worked with them and help them find. There's a couple hip hop tracks on there. There's something on there that has like a rockabilly musician on there that did a lot of stand up bass and slap bass on it. And then it turned it into this rock and roll hip hop thing. And it goes everywhere. And I'm really proud of what the guys put together.
It comes with a comic book, I guess, for lack of a better term. Maybe tell me if there's a better term. There's a visual element that goes with each track.
There is a visual element. And on some of them, it was a comic. And on some of them, it's just like a spread. When we did work on the project, what I told them is I wanted their music to end up influencing me. I didn't want to draw a bunch of stuff and then box them in. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to do it the other way around, and I wanted to get these tracks based off of a loose outline that I gave them, then sit there and absorb and digest it, and then start drawing.
And is there a particular song or track on the album that you are most proud of, the way your artwork connects with the music?
Ooh, that's hard. They're all equally beautiful. I mean, there's one in particular about Rumpus falling in love with an otter, so it has it holds a big chunk of my heart because the otter is actually my wife. There's another one called 39th Street that is just like soulful, funky saxophone on there. And it's just Rumpus walking down 39th Street, which holds a special place in my heart because I live in that neighborhood. And I think every single one of them, the people that worked on it just completely nailed the emotions.
Rumpus's story, you said at the beginning that that in some ways he was you. Is he still you?
He still is. And if I feel like I need to do some therapy myself and put something out there that describes me, then if you look at Rumpus, there's a good chance that it is about me. But that has grown over the years. And the more creatives that I'm around and the more people I work with, the more I realize that the struggles are similar. And I just kind of grab little bits and pieces and story from inspiration from them on people that are like really striving to move forward on their dreams.
Are they inspiring you, or are you with this kind of work trying to inspire them?
I mean, a big part of working with these guys was to hopefully for that to end up being a circle. When we first started talking about the project, they were uninspired about some of the stuff that they were working on, and they did want to make some departures away from some of the hip-hop stuff that they were doing, and this kind of gave them a vehicle. And then it turned around and inspired me back, and it kind of like closed the loop. So I think it's beautiful that the relationship became about inspiring and uplifting each other.
The album is not the only release you're celebrating this week. There's this new children's book that introduces us to the Scribble Squad. It's called The Scribble Squad in the Weird Wild West. Tell us about the Scribble Squad. Who are they?
Scribble Squad are a group of kind of misfits, just four creative kids. There's Rumpus. So now we can rewind to Rumpus as a 12-year-old.
It's kind of a prequel for Rumpus.
It is. And then his buddy Ty, who's a tiger. And then there's two prairie dogs that are twins, and that's Phils and Phlox. Three of them are the main part of Scribble Squad who do the painting. They're interested in street art, and they're interested in doing murals. And Rumpus's grandfather in Kansas City, who owns a plumbing shop, gives them their first permission wall. What ends up happening is they have three different personalities and three different styles, and they start out by trying to do a mural, but basically doing three separate ideas about the Wild West. And Rumpus's grandfather gives them some special paint, gives them a little bit of advice. It ends up creating a portal to a world that smashes everything together. One of them is really interested in backgrounds. The other one's interested in everything being wild and crazy, which is Phil. Everything with Rumpus is really imaginative. So basically they step through this portal with Phil's little sister or twin sister, and she's a reporter for the school newspaper, and basically ends up pulling their bacon out of the fryer a bunch of times. She's kind of the brains behind the operation.
I will say it is a beautiful book, and there's your artwork on almost every page, along with a great story. It's a chapter book. Kids can read it over time.
I would probably describe it more like Diary of a Wimpy Kid would be a close comparison. It's just that there's 150 full color illustrations in this. It's just as wild as a lot of my mural work. There's flying catfish and people that need to be together learn how to be together.
How is the 12-year-old Rumpus different than the one that you would go on to paint on sides of buildings later on?
I think he'd just be like any other 12-year-old kid, is that there's an innocence to it. So it was kind of nice to be able to not have it be so heavily influenced by my history, but just sort of like go back to a couple things. Like, what was it like for me to be 12 years old? I have a 12-year-old myself, and I got a chance to look at him and what he's interested in, how they're shy and sometimes a little introverted, but also adventurous.
You have a 12-year-old. You have a 10-year-old as well?
I have one that just turned 10. Yep.
Is that part of why you wanted to put out a children's book right now?
Many years ago when I came to the Art Institute, it was always a goal to do either animation or children's books. Graffiti was something that influenced me from taking the subways in Boston, and that's how that got fused into it. But my initial first dreams were to do something along these lines. Interestingly enough, graffiti is what knocked me off the path. And when Andrews and McNeil reached out to me, one of the things that piqued their interest was because of the murals that were around Kansas City, and they wanted to talk to me about how we could infuse that as part of the theme. So it's interesting that it one of the things that kind of knocked me off track from my original goals and dream ended up kind of looping back around and creating a unique situation for me to tell a different story.
You say this is a goal that you had always wanted to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you've accomplished it with this work?
I think it's a good start.
There's more to do.
There's always more to do. My wife would say that I am not good at sitting still. And so, you know, I was crazy enough to try to work on putting an album together and having a children's book come out and a gallery show and numerous projects at Children's Mercy. I'm really blessed to have a lot of helpers in my life and people that are supporting me. But to be honest, like, this is only a small part of how I dream.
Yeah, I mean, you have this release party tomorrow night at Counterpoint. That's at 1903 Wyandotte Street in Kansas City. How big a deal is that career-wise? That seems like a very grown-up artist thing to do, is have a release party for a new book and an album.
It is. I get to wear the marketing hat. I've been doing the stuff behind the scenes with my wife in order to get the show together, and it does feel really grown up. It's like a bucket list thing to be able to check off. Like, I'll be able to look back on this and be really proud of the fact that many years ago, I probably wouldn't have thought that this would be able to come together.
Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm very nervous. I've described it to my friend as I have the bubble guts right now. I've been kind of churning and I'm nervous. I've seen a lot of excitement about it, and so many people in Kansas City and beyond have been recently reaching out to me and telling me how excited they are, and it's really humbling.
You talk about humility and that experience for you. I'm curious, it's overly simplistic to ask an author what the moral of their book is, but I guess more broadly, what's the message you're really hoping to convey to the kids who read the book, and the grown-ups who listen to the music?
Well, in this story, without giving too much away,
sure,
there is a town who, in the Wild West, that's been separated by what you call the money men, I guess, and they separated the town away from the Native Americans in the area. And there's several things that happen. The team learns how to work together as a group in order to be able to get home back to Kansas City. And in the meantime, they end up helping a town work at getting back to the way things were. And that was basically, it's like multiple levels of the collaborative effort of making their way through life and not being, you know, like motivated by division.
Will we hear more from the Scribble Squad?
That's my hope. So, you know, there's a couple things that I'm really hoping in order to, grow this a little farther. I would love to continue to tell more stories, but the book needs to be a success. One of the ways I'm hoping that could be a success is I'm asking people to possibly purchase the book. You can get it through Amazon and Barnes & Noble and so on. But to sort of like close the gap of also this style that's at Children's Mercy, I'm asking people to pick up the book for themselves because I think they'll enjoy it. But I'm also asking them to pick up another one and mail it into Children's Mercy and get it into the hands of another kid for free and help change the experience for a child there for under $10.
That's Donald Ross, the artist known as Scribe, author of a book coming out this weekend, The Scribble Squad in the Weird Wild West. And that release party is tomorrow from 5 to 9 p.m. at Counterpoint at 1903 Wyandotte. Thank you so much for being with us, Scribe.
Thank you. It was an honor to be here. I appreciate it.
Glad to have you. It was a real pleasure. You can find this program online today. You can find all our recent shows there. In fact, we're at kcur.org/centralstandard. If you're on Twitter, we're there too. We're at kcurcst, and I'm at ptsbrian. Tomorrow, join us for our food show. The food critics will be here to help us find the best rice dishes in Kansas City. KCUR Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. Our team includes Suzanne Hogan, Jen Chen, and Andrea Tudhope, along with intern Zach Klammen. Gina Kaufman's on leave. I'm Brian Ellison. We'll see you tomorrow.